Now I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So today is Trinity Sunday, and I'm going to speak about the Trinity. Imagine those might be the last words of this sermon that you're listening to. We tend to think that the Trinity is impossibly difficult and totally irrelevant. The kind of mathematical puzzle for the clergy that we should apologise for and not worry our heads about too much. Yes, if the vicar says that he's going to talk about the Trinity, you know the sermon is going to be even more incomprehensible than normal. Or else it will be silly and not very satisfying. You know, it could be Sunday school stuff. Soon he'll be telling us that a sandrock is 3-in-1 and God is a bit like that. Or there'll be an amazing experiment with water, ice and steam, and you see God is a bit like that. And the vicar has probably committed any number of heresies, and we're not much further on. Certainly we can't completely understand the Trinity. We wouldn't expect to be able to completely understand God, would we? It wouldn't be much of a God if we could. But the Trinity matters, because it is who God is. What could be more practical and relevant than who God himself, our Creator and Redeemer, is? God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If we want to know God, we want to know him as he really is. And that means getting to grips with the Trinity, because God is triune. The only living God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is the God whom we worship. This doctrine of the Trinity is something that distinguishes God, the true and living God, the God of the Bible, from all other so-called gods. You know, when people say, "I like to think of God as so-and-so," it's more than likely that something wrong is going to follow there, isn't it? Yeah, I like to think of God as so-and-so. Well, the Trinity is hardly likely to follow. The Trinity is hardly something that we would dream up. The Trinity is something that God has revealed who he is. Here is something that distinguishes Christianity from Judaism and Islam and all the other world religions. To the Jew and the Muslim, the Trinity is blasphemous. It's outrageous to say that Jesus could be both God and man. If the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are God, it sounds like these Christians believe in three gods. However much we might protest, they think they're polytheists, worshipping many gods, that we've virtually become Hindus or something, and then why stop at three? And to the philosopher, it's nonsense. How can there be one God in three persons? But the Trinity is who God is. There is one God who is a loving fellowship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So what is the relevance and importance of the Trinity? Well, for one thing, it shows us what it really means to say that God is love. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit always loved one another, even before the world was created. God is love in himself. Just think about it for a moment. If God were just a single, solitary being, how could God be love before he had anything to love, before he created the world? The Trinity tells us that God is love, really, in himself. At the heart of the universe, always, is an eternal community of love, the Trinity, a loving family. So God is not a solitary old man in the sky. He didn't create the world because he was lonely or bored. God isn't some kind of cosmic hermit. God is love, eternally, really, deep down, the love of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Trinity says us that God is love. The Trinity explains to us why relationships are so important to us. they are, aren't they? It's loving relationships that really make life worth living and give it its meaning. That's because the eternal relationship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is the most basic reality of all. God is relationship, and we're made in the image of God for relationship. We're meant to find our meaning and fulfillment in loving relationships. That's how God is, and that's how God has made us. The life of the Trinity is a wonderful pattern for ordered, harmonious relationships. The persons of the Trinity are other persons centered. The Father loves the Son and has placed everything into his hands. The Son loves the Father and does exactly what the Father commands. God himself is not self-serving. Even the members of the Holy Trinity are outgoing love. And it's the same for us. To focus merely on ourselves is to shrink and diminish. We're made for relationships. And so when we focus on others, we become more truly ourselves, more truly who we were meant to be. Our relationships make us who we are. They partly define us. So think of my relationships. I'm a son, a brother, a husband, a father. Those relationships define me. And it's the same with God himself. God is defined by relationship. Father and son are relational categories, aren't they? Without the son, the father wouldn't be the father. Without a father, the son wouldn't be a son. It's relationships that make us who we are. The amazing thing is that we are invited into the loving fellowship of the Trinity. Whilst God wasn't lacking anything in himself, the love of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit overflowed to us. The love of the Trinity is a love which reaches out and embraces the world. The Trinity is a holy puzzle turned in on itself, but a fellowship that overflows and draws us in. We're invited into the family of the Trinity to know God as our Father, Jesus as our brother, bound together by the Holy Spirit. So the Trinity is a pattern for our relationships, a pattern for our family. The Trinity shows us how a family can be happy and secure and loving, but not insular, not with walls up, not excluding others, but overflowing and hospitable and embracing others. Or our churches. Our churches are to be happy and fulfilled, but not smug or complacent or defensive, but rather overflowing, welcoming, generous, and reaching out. The Trinity is a model of relationships that are happy, but overflowing, satisfied, but reaching out. And the Trinity gives us a pattern for our life together. It gives us a model of unity with difference. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit are perfectly united, but they're not the same. The members of the Trinity are equal, but different. The Father isn't the Son, and the Son isn't the Spirit, and so on. And in fact, they don't want to be each other. They're quite happy to play their role. They don't want to usurp each other's situation. Not as if the Son wishes he were the Father, or the Father wants to be the Son. Equality with difference. The same status, but different roles. The Trinity shows us that unity doesn't mean uniformity. Oneness doesn't mean sameness. There can be diversity without division. We're members of one body, but with many parts. Equal but different. United but not the same. So the Trinity is a very practical doctrine.
in the words of the grace. The Trinity is the source of grace, love, and fellowship. The Trinity is connected to very down-to-earth things like being of one mind and living at peace together. Our getting on together depends on getting the Trinity right. It's not abstract, theoretical theology. And it's the triune God who sends us out in mission. In the words of the Great Commission, we are to baptize the nations in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The Father has given all authority in heaven and on earth to his Son, and the Spirit empowers us to make disciples of the Lord Jesus. The whole of salvation is the work of the triune God. The work of salvation planned by the Father, accomplished by the Son, and applied by the Spirit. As God the Father sent his Son and his Spirit, so he sends us. And Jesus promises to be with us by his Spirit. And so as we go in the name of the Holy Trinity, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us each evermore. Amen.